Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information on the news and links to the topics that we discuss in the show, go to our website at geeksone.com.
Yay! Welcome back, my geeklings.
I'm back in my seat, so now Welcome. I get to make the sound effects.
Oh, no.
I get to be
cheap. Oh, no.
Oh, no. It's going to be a showdown of
Now it's a showdown of geek.
Yeah, welcome, perky. Everybody.
Welcome back, kids.
How was your geek week and a half? My geek week in 2 weeks, actually.
Oh, has it been?
Actually, because it was it was almost 3 weeks, because it was the week before that I was supposed to be talking about, and then the week that I was gone.
Oh, well, so it's been more for you.
Yeah.
Longer for you.
Yeah.
How was your geek weeks?
The geek's weeks.
Excellent.
Were awesome. The geek week right before the week that... Okay, never mind. The geek week before...
We're going back into the geek archives.
Geek archives.
The first day was like a week.
He was awesome. Now, I saw Jolene Blaylock in Target.
Right.
Buying crap for her dog, which was awesome. And then I had E3, which was rocking. Yeah, Porthos. Not Porthos. She is not as hot in person.
Yeah. You know who
you're
is hotter?
Have to convince me.
You know who is hotter than she ever was on
you're
TV?
You're going to have to show me.
She's not. She looks like she's been sort of pulled in a stretcher. And
I ran into Laura Sangiacomo, and she is hot in real life.
And who is she?
Oh, who are you people? Come
yeah,
on.
I don't know who she is. Who is
Sex
she?
Lies and Videotapes.
Sex Lies and Videotapes. She was in
Shoot Me.
Oh, the one with the huge cans.
That girl, that girl is unreal. In that,
you can tell Lisa's not in the room because
that was Aaron who said the word cans.
In that sitcom she did, they did everything possible to hide her boobs in that movie. And
that's true.
It was weird.
You guys also blocked out all of my picks.
Cans of what?
American.
Our episode was 2 hours long.
Okay, fine.
2 hours.
All right.
We had a long episode.
It was more about, like, I just didn't have time to continue. I was like, editing this for, like, 3.5 hours, and I had to, like,
just say one thing. I'm, first of all, supposed to bring up Psychonauts, because one of our fans is a huge fan of Psychonauts and keeps on bringing it up. I don't know what y'all have heard of it. I haven't played it, so I don't know.
I actually haven't heard anything about it.
I've heard it's written well and funny.
Right.
But the game is still kind of like a platform.
Okay. I know.
I heard it's not bad. I heard it's a good
game. Is it
the
one where you're like a little wizard kid in a school, or is that
Harry
Potter?
You're in a school to be trained to become like a psychic, and all the kids in there have a different psychic ability, and they can like blow people up.
It's like Harry Potter with psychics.
Right.
Right. I hear it's good.
The one that I wanted everybody to look at from E3, which you didn't mention, since nobody picked PC games.
Hello, Mac.
Whatever.
They make games for Mac.
Yeah, they do. Really?
Your company does.
Apparently just widgets.
Widgets. Rise of Nations, Rise of Legends. It's made by the people who made Age of Empires, and they obviously cannot make titles without "of" in the center of it. But incredible looking game, just fabulous. And it's basically about sort of this legendary universe versus sort of a steampunk universe. And it's kind of in real time. It's just kind of
real time?
Yeah. Well, you can choose whether or not you want to do turn-based or real time.
I like the turn-based. I kind of miss it.
Well, you can. You can switch it on.
Beautiful.
You can handle the pressure, man.
I like to go to the bathroom once in a while I play. I like to go get some water.
Wait. During play? Pause button.
Yeah, and it's a little awkward if I can't pause the game, you know? It's just...
Wait, you like peeing while you play?
Pull over that trash can or use the Snapple bottle.
That explains your
Then you
your
forget
Halo
which
2.
One has the apple juice.
That explains your Halo 2 score.
Exactly.
That's just
this Snapple tastes funny.
Well, quickly, let's do introductions before we move on. My name is Aaron Hendricks, and I'm a geek.
My name is Peter Robinson, and I'm a geek.
My name is Matt King, and I'm a geek, and I'm back.
I am Donald Marshall, and I'm not a geek. I don't know why I'm here.
Liar.
I'm totally mainstream. I'm the normal one.
You were the one talking about Jabba being in the corner.
Don't bite me.
All right, let's do some geek news.
Geek news.
I'll lead us off. From the wonderful world of Hollywood, we have confirmation that X-Men 3... has its budget all together. It's looking all exciting.
Isn't this the director who just everybody hates once they finish?
And now they just signed up a new director.
Ah, well, never mind.
No, Bryan Singer was the one that everyone
hated.
Well, yeah.
They had problems with him?
They had problems with him being...
I heard fascinating gossip about him.
Yeah, me too. This is Hollywood gossip.
Did you hear about his gossip. Editor and stuff?
He was apparently... His editor was his boyfriend, boy toy type guy. His little piece of candy. And apparently he just gave him the job.
This is all...
Are we outing somebody?
No, this
okay,
is...
Okay, good.
Well, no one's being outed, and not only that, but that's all complete.
Like any of us are so hooked into.
We have no idea this person is. It's just a rumor, but
right.
But I've heard similar rumors. not specifically that one, but I've heard rumors like, you know, like some dude showing up, walking in, you know, like just a guy that he'd met. So it's like, yeah, I'm here to try out for this part. You know, I mean.
Yeah, these, again, to all the lawyers out there, are complete rumors.
Rumors!
The opinions expressed by Geeks On are not necessarily the opinions of the geeks of Geeks On. Good luck finding someone to sue. Ha-ha.
Oh, wait.
So, anyway, the director that has been scheduled is Brett Ratner.
Oh, the guy who did Rush Hour.
That is correct, the Rush Hour guy. And that's,
wait, did he do Rush Hour 2?
He did Rush Hour, he did Rush Hour 2. He did Madonna, the Video Collection.
Oh, good.
The Family Man and Red Dragon.
Red Dragon.
Yeah, behold the
behold
quiet
the one good
silence
movie.
Of who? So Rush Hour 2 was
it was good.
I'm not sure. I mean, I liked Rush Hour. Don't get me wrong, but I'm not sure if it was the director that made that movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Rush Hour 2 was poopy in a
remember,
can.
Remember,
I haven't seen Red
one
Dragon.
One of the biggest, best movies of the last 4 or 5 years was directed by someone you would never give the reins to.
Didn't
Peter
he do,
Jackson.
That's true.
Wait, he did Red Dragon?
He did Red Dragon.
Is that the Hannibal Lecter
yes.
one?
I have not seen
not
that.
Peter Jackson.
I have heard
Brett
negative
Ratner
things about
did Red Dragon.
Right.
So anyway, on top of that, we have a few other people signed onto the cast. They have all the original actors back. They have...
What about Halle, what's who
else? Yes, they have Halle Berry back.
Oh, goody.
God help us all. What happens when lightning hits a toad?
That wasn't her fault. That's a writing problem.
She botched that line. She didn't even try.
Why don't you try it right now? Here we go. Don Marshall auditioning for Storm.
What happens when lightning hits a toad? The same thing that happens to everything else.
That's pretty good.
That was pretty good. Come on now.
Thank you.
And you look good in that wig.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, I like the outfit.
Hey, you get to wear the ears, yeah, man. I get outfit. To wear the bustier. All right. The other people that are now in the...
cold, I mean, come on, you know.
I could put an eye out with these things. We have new people added to the cast. We have Vinnie Jones as Juggernaut. I don't know who that is.
Vinnie Jones?
Who's Vinnie Jones?
Vinnie Jones as a name, he'd better be huge.
Yeah, seriously.
As a Juggernaut. Hey, y'all. Okay, this is Juggernaut here.
All right.
Juggernaut smash!
We have Kelsey Grammer joining the cast as the Beast.
Oh, okay, that's perfect.
Good
choice.
If
that's
he's
great.
Just doing the voice, I completely agree. But I don't want to watch him being all superhero-y.
Come on, the Beast is... blue and furry.
I agree completely.
They'll put him in a foam suit and make him
He'll
huge.
Be in a suit. It won't matter. Yeah.
Okay. I have hopes. I think he's a very good choice.
Okay.
The one I'm a little sketchy on is Lost star Maggie Grace as Kitty. Maggie Grace is the blonde one from Lost, the one whose entire character arc for the season was, I'm so useless. I've never done anything. No, honestly, that's the storyline.
I gotta be honest.
Well, again, you can't blame her for crappy storyline.
No, I'm not, but...
She's really
kind
like
of a nothing
much.
Character from Lost.
You did not like her very much?
And
I don't like her acting that much. I just don't like her. I mean, she's okay, but
she's flat.
Mm.
She's
not
beautiful, but she's flat.
She's How not can she be person. Flat and beautiful? Ow.
Go watch
what
Psychoanalyze
me,
videotape
though, is,
and shut up.
What Look, kills cans. Me is the woman who's the brunette on Lost would have been a perfect Shadow Cat.
Okay.
I don't even know who Shadow Cat is.
She's the one who walks through walls.
Geek License, give me it. No. Mm.
I'm not a big comic book. Well, yeah. I was a DC.
Okay, I was a huge Shadowcat fan. It was like Nightcrawler and Shadowcat were my two favorite characters.
Nightcrawler is the one with like hands on his feet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Storm. I like Storm.
He's got like white gloves.
So Aaron's the Star Trek. You're the comic book. Mm-hmm. I'm the Star Wars. What's Pete?
I don't know. We gotta find you a niche, man.
You're a big comic book guy.
Vinny Jones. Did you guys ever see Snatch?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Vinny Jones is the guy in Snatch.
He always plays mobsters?
Yeah,
the older guy?
He's the big guy. He's and I just had him
on my computer, and my computer just died. I would have shown you.
Is he the guy on who's on Law and Order right now?
I don't know. I haven't watched Law and Order.
Was he?
I don't know who he is. He's the big tall guy. He's the guy that like bullet tooth, you know, Tony, the guy that you know got shot. And
has
still...
he done anything else?
He was great in that. He was great in Snatch. He's
I know,
fantastic.
I just don't remember him.
I don't remember
him
either.
I think he's been in. I think he's been. He was in. I think he was in Gone in 60 Seconds. He was the guy that didn't talk in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Blank stare.
You know, he's he was in Swordfish, I think, also. I'm not positive about that, though.
Another blank stare.
On my Netflix.
Boy, he can pick him.
Well, hey, man, he's working.
He's just getting started out, you know?
Okay.
All right, next story. Or unless you were done.
No, that's it.
Alrighty. This is some information about Sony's PlayStation 3.
Ooh.
They announced all how superpower the PlayStation 3 is going to be. Hard
right.
drive.
Feel our power.
We saw what the controller looked like, which, remember, I said that that boomerang-looking controller was going to be the first change they're going to make.
Right.
Well, everybody asked, because everyone said, what the hell? This looks like a piece of crap. Are you looking up that actor's name?
Nothing, go on.
So Sony commented that, no, the controller is what it is, that they might make a couple subtle changes, but that boomerang thing is what it's going to be when it comes when it gets released.
Nice.
Well, we'll see a lot of masterful Australian players in the near future.
Exactly. And that they haven't decided whether a hard drive is going to be standard with the system again.
Okay.
That it may be another add-on.
Who's got the reins on Sony, and what head do they need to pull their ass out of?
Here's the problem.
You don't at least even get choices between the old joystick and the new one?
I don't know.
Well, I'm sure there'll be new, different controllers you can buy.
There will instantly be at least a third-party controller that's just like,
okay.
And everyone will be buying that. Mm-hmm. And then,
yes.
Like...
Yeah.
Microsoft, they'll release an official version of it. They did the same thing with the controller S. Everyone complained about the big controller.
Well, that's because it was the size of my head.
Right. And the Japanese version was the smaller version, and everyone wanted that one.
Don, you're 6'4". You're the only person who could play that controller.
I could palm your head.
I'm 5'8". That controller, like, I needed my elbows and feet to use.
Don has Michael Jordan hands.
And you never played so well in your life, man.
Well, the problem is, a lot of people are thinking, is that Sony's PlayStation 3 is just too expensive when you add up all the components. And this could be their way of trying to knock down the price to match the Xbox 2 or 360. So that it's kind of a fair fight in price wars when it comes out. But
ooh.
Again, this is another problem. They tried that again. They tried that last time. They released the hard drive and then didn't support it. It's a big...
Well, not to plug anyone's business, but I went by GameStop earlier this week, and you can reserve your Xbox 360s now.
I hear.
But they can't tell you how much it's going to cost.
Right.
They're just saying, give us $50. Give us $50 and we'll save you an Xbox when it comes out.
Right.
Could be $300, could be $450. We don't really know.
Right.
Well, you can apply. I found out, I did that with a game and then didn't want the game and found out you can apply those things to just whatever you want.
We should take bets on who's going to win the next console wars. Like, between us, we'll just bet.
Okay. I'll bet Sony.
You going to bet Sony?
I think I put my money on Microsoft if they're smart this time.
Oh, I would love it to be. I want it to be the closest fight ever. I want
because
Microsoft.
Then they'll come up with
and
some
quite
great
frankly,
stuff.
I kind of want Microsoft to win because I believe Sony still thinks as the Western or the United States or the West as second rate citizens when it comes to their video games and console systems. We get thought of second online,
absolutely.
The type of gaming, type of RPGs. They sell to Japan and then they sell to the United States. And quite frankly, I want. This is the guy?
This guy.
Oh, okay. Not who else.
This is what Peter was silent that whole time.
He was looking up the actor.
Why is he naked, though?
We'll put a link to what we're looking at right now.
Excellent.
Yeah.
On the website.
There we go. Good.
Perfect.
Go check it out.
Yes. All right. Anyway.
Why is he naked?
I think that's interesting. Bad choice if Sony does not put in a hard drive.
I'm gonna bet on Microsoft.
I just hope they learned from experience. And I don't know if this is true or not. I have no idea if this is true. But I've heard that the Japanese consumer will tend to buy a Sony over a Microsoft simply because it's a Japanese product.
Right.
Period.
Right.
Like, they won't question that.
Right. And their excuse this time was, it's too big. Well, it's like, seriously, like 3/4 inch taller.
Yeah.
That's the reason? That's bullshit. That is not the reason. Well, the GameCube's a big, weird...
Well, and the PS2, you could stand on its side. I mean, for some ways of storing things, I can understand that.
Okay.
Well,
we'll see.
I'm reaching.
We'll see.
Yeah,
we'll see with the next one.
All right, Peter.
Peter. That was Don reaching. Sorry.
No.
Okay.
Nice.
Are you Japanese?
A little bit.
My article is The Little Rover That Could. It's about...
Really? Did it get out?
Yeah, it got out a month ago.
Yay! Did they use the board technique?
In fact, they used the board and rocking technique where you get out of the rover and you rock it back and forth. No. What they did was, it's really interesting, about a month ago, we as well know.
Summarize. Yeah, there you go.
The rover got stuck.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
On Mars.
Mars. It's the Mars rover. and it got stuck.
No one said it.
On Mars.
It was unsaid.
So, okay. So here's what they did. They got a mock rover here on Earth, and they put they got the same type of conditions,
mm-hmm.
and they tested it out,
mm-hmm.
and they tried all these different things until they figured out what would work the best. And then they basically had it try a bunch of little tiny push forward until finally it broke through in exactly the way it did
in the test.
It worked great.
Yay.
And, wait. Here's a picture.
I feel like a proud parent.
Here's a picture they have at it when it broke free.
Looks like a sonogram.
Now, yeah. Can we put that on
website? I sent you a link to
that. Okay, good.
So fantastic. This is really interesting, actually.
And actually, here you go. You can see a small version.
Is that a person?
Oh my God, it's an alien.
It's the Martian Triple
I. I'm waiting for that to just be like reflected in a lens.
That no wonder got stuck.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't make me repeat that joke, man.
I got it. That reminds me that, you know, when they do launch things into outer space, especially like space shuttle stuff, they have a mock space shuttle on the ground with absolutely everything that they launch. If you bring like a comb and you put it in your back pocket, they make you put that comb in this duplicate on Earth.
Wow.
So that if something happens, they can send a team of experts in there and say, okay, here's our resources. We got to figure out how to solve the problem with everything that's in this. They do that with every launch.
That is the coolest thing.
It is very cool.
In the entire
world. I've never
world.
Heard that before. Yeah. That's awesome.
There's a movie in there somewhere.
Yeah, it's called Apollo 13.
Damn it, you're right.
13. All right. Cool, Matt.
All right. My news story is that you can finally engineer good looks.
Take a look at me, baby.
Yeah, but you weren't engineered. You're just naturally shiny. basically, Brave New World is a lot closer than we thought. So they had the whole thing with the genetics and manipulating and getting more kids and cloning and the whole thing. But
now, wait a minute. Are you talking about Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt dating?
No.
Okay.
No, that's husbandry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. It's called Human Germline Genetic Modification.
They need to think of a sexier title.
There. Yeah. Yeah, well. Germline comes from the word germination. It means the seed or the egg and the various processes that begin a new life. It's different from somatic genetic engineering, which seeks to alter or replace genes in a person with a disease. It's similar to cloning, but basically it takes away a lot of the problems in the kids, and you can choose, like, you want a longer nose, you want bigger eyes,
have we
you
learned
want bigger
nothing
boobs.
From Gattaca?
But I know they've mapped the human genome, but can you select and pick and make a recipe yet? I don't think so.
Well, basically what it allows you to do is affect things. You know, I mean, you can affect things for disease, very obviously, and you can pick those out. So you can see which, like, XY chromosome, which ones would be favorable features. Like, you can say green eyes because the father has green eyes, and we want to tend towards that way.
Oh, so you can pick and choose from the selection.
Yes.
You can't, like, add,
no.
like...
No, but we think that that's the next step where basically we can alter.
This is not a good thing.
No. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, why?
Because you remove genetic variation from the equation if it starts happening on a wide scale basis.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
In France, mm-hmm. right? France was very, very proud of their vineyards for mm-hmm. a very long time. Mm-hmm. they had this unique grape that was considered to be the best in the world. Mm-hmm. And then I think in the 19... I'm kind of pulling a date out of my ass here. I think it was the 1950s. Mm-hmm. A disease was let loose in France, and it killed all of the grapes because all of them were the same genetic strain of grape. Mm-hmm. And so the grapes they have now are like a bastardized grandson version they brought back from Chile.
Right.
Now, that happened because they had one single genetic strain. Okay. They had removed all genetic variation from their crops. This could happen again. If you make everyone so that no one's fat, what happens the first time a worldwide famine breaks out? You know, maybe there's a reason why some people have sickle cell anemia.
Yep.
You know?
It's very interesting. Well, basically, to close, the germline modification has now been showed possible in lab animals. So scientists in various labs have produced genetically modified mice by altering the sperm used to fertilize the eggs. So they've created succeeding generations of modified mice, some stronger, bigger, faster.
Yeah, Matt has a picture here.
Yep. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God, that's the hottest mouse I've ever seen.
Yeah. I think we'll call him Danger Mouse. Some lab, they've actually put, I don't know why, they've given them the gene for green fluorescent protein, and it makes the mice glow in the dark.
You are fucking kidding me.
No.
Now that...
That's fucked up.
Okay. Can you imagine, I want to know how to do that. New York apartment building, like, at night, and the whole place is lit up?
Look, all I want to know is how I can have my kids have that gene. This is great!
Stop, Bruce Banner.
That's just
something
wrong.
About gamma rays. Yeah, well.
Okay. Well, speaking of genes... a new paper published by Dr. Michael Weiss, chairman of the biochemistry at Ohio University. No, wait, excuse me, I'm quoting the wrong person entirely. I'm going to start that over again. All right. A new paper by Barry Dixon.
Doesn't even sound like
different person entirely. Senior scientist at the Austrian Academy of Sciences in Vienna has published a paper proving that, in theory, proving that homosexuality is genetic, period.
Cool.
In a new fruit fly research, he's discovered a genome...
That's why they're fruit flies.
So he changed them to, like, house flies?
Yeah. Basically, he found a single genome that you could just switch, and he turned an entire generation of fruit flies gay and lesbian.
Cool.
All of them.
Now, how do you know that a fruit fly is a lesbian? Like, they go, like, go down.
They dyke out.
They go 69 on each other.
How do you eat a fruit fly? Put one foot over each ear and go to town.
I didn't know there were gay fruit flies. I mean,
no, apparently there are now.
How could you not know that there were gay fruit flies?
It says it in the name. What's wrong with you?
Okay.
Have you guys noticed we're all a little loopy today?
No, I'm just, you know, we're not the obvious. You can't have a gay fruit fly story and not be a little loopy.
But somehow the word lesbian fruit fly doesn't come out as easily,
no,
does it?
Not as good.
I'm picturing little tiny flannel shirts.
Yeah, and like that hockey hair.
Yeah.
On all of them.
Nice.
And all of the male ones dressed like Matt.
Real. What?
Anyway, okay. So...
Metro.
There are all sorts of ramifications that this could possibly have, not just on religion and politics and all that stuff, but it still, of course, has to be approved by the scientific community at large. And there's some aspects of it that don't make sense to me yet. Like, if there was that strong a genetic connection, then twin studies would probably have a higher correlation of homosexuality between twins. And it is higher than baseline randomness. It's like 50% correlation, but...
Not really.
Which is huge. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah, that is
but that's
huge.
Not 100%.
Hmm. No, yeah. But twins aren't 100%.
Twins are identical twins.
Identical twins.
But that's identical twins aren't identically...
Genetically, they're identical.
Genetically, they're identical. 100%?
Identical twins are genetically identical.
Oh,
excuse
I didn't
me,
know that.
Identical twins, yes.
Is that true?
I don't know. That.
That's interesting.
Fraternal twins are 50%, have 50% of the same genes.
Hmm. Very interesting. Well, there you go.
Is this like your definition of life?
You found definitions all over.
No, I did
you
not.
You sent out proof that there was no definition of life with the definition of life in it.
No, they... Okay, well, work this out.
That's
later.
Another time.
All right. I've got a story here. The Nolan Bushnell, man who created Pong and Chuck E. Cheese
Pong.
And Atari, everything else.
He created Chuck E. Cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He got the man's a genius.
Did you hear he sold Atari for like $10,000 in the 70s?
You stupid bastard.
No. I think maybe it was a little. I think it was more than that.
I heard it was a tiny, tiny pittance amount.
Oh, really?
And then but he then stayed he on
worked,
as a
but
consult.
Then he worked, but. Yeah, then he worked yeah. for them.
My uncle sold Spider-Man number one for $700 in the 70s.
My mom threw mine out.
You had a Spider-Man number one?
No, I had an X-Men 23. But it's close.
Okay. Anyway, Nolan Bushnell.
Why are you laughing?
He's got another restaurant that's going to come out.
Oh, what is
really?
It?
Do tell.
It's called
Wolfgang Pong's.
It's called the You Wink Media Bistro.
New title.
Really?
Yeah. And
it just rolls off the tongue.
It does. The idea is that there are no waiters or waitresses that come to your table. You have these party tables that are these interactive video game tables that are all touch sensitive.
I want to go.
And so the whole thing's menued. The menu's on the table. And everyone presses and orders from the menu on the table.
I want to go.
And then after you're done, it turns into a giant 6-person video game that you can select all these different games like Pong on the table. And
Appetizer Destroyer.
Right. And the whole table becomes this interactive game.
I want to go.
So it is that they are building the first one here in Los Angeles, and they're going to see how it does before they make it a chain. So
we're going.
The day it opens, we're
okay, we are there. We will broadcast live from, what is it called
if
again?
If we had the capability to broadcast
the
live.
U-Wink Media Bistro.
Okay, we're probably going to change its name.
Yeah.
Even if they keep that name, we're going to change it.
Yeah.
But anyway, he's trying to bring the social aspect of gaming back to the table.
Let's quickly come up with five better names for him than that.
Five better names than the U-Wink Media
How about
Bistro.
Chuck E. Cheese?
You know, like
his kid named that.
The Gamer's Garden. The Gamer's, you know,
it's like Olive Garden, but it's
yeah, exactly. You know, they have Italian food.
Well, they got the table. So I mean, you had the, you know.
Okay, so his is better than all of ours, is what we're saying. Yeah. We can't even come up
the
with...
The new table. I don't know.
The new table.
Okay, competition. Right. Here's a competition out there.
Yeah, we'll put it on our... we'll send it to him. We'll put it on
and,
our webpage.
And anyone... anyone who wins will win a $25 certificate to our Geeks On store when we open it someday in the future. Someday.
What would we sell?
T-shirts.
Geeks. Autographed headshots. Yeah, we'll be rolling in it.
Hey, that guy with...
we're on radio. The reason why we're
There's
on
a reason
radio.
Why we're on radio.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, I'm done.
Okay. I have something on why we will all be like fish someday.
Fish.
So there's an Israeli inventor who has created a device... or at least patented a device that will allow people to go underwater without actually bringing air with them. Okay?
It's like a rebreather.
Actually,
really?
In this case, it's going to work like the gills on a fish, and it's actually going to take water.
It's going
to
strip?
And take the oxygen out of the water.
Okay, Aquaman, that's some crazy snot right there.
I actually think this is pretty cool because
that's really cool. Yeah. Okay. I'm a scuba diver. That's bad.
I'm not sure though.
Okay,
what happens if it breaks? You don't have a backup.
It does, in fact, have an emergency air supply. See right there.
Oh, yeah. Good. Okay, then
yeah,
fine.
I mean, you can do the same thing.
I sign off.
So basically, the whole concept though is that the idea is that if you can lower the pressure, of water, air will come out of it.
Right.
Because it becomes more gaseous.
Yeah.
So he's using that, and it's powered by a battery. And right now he's calculated that, and I don't know what this means. But
so instead of an air tank on your back, you have to carry out a big-ass battery?
Well, you carry batteries, but batteries can be replaced. I mean, you know, you can...
So can air tanks.
No, in other words, you could stay underwater for an extended amount of time just switching out your battery as necessary.
Right.
Okay.
Well,
but eventually batteries could become more efficient and, you get longer time.
The problematic thing is that you're still going to be undergoing nitrogen narcosis. So, I mean, just
if you're down that low.
By staying under that long?
But, well, actually,
you're 30 feet. 30 feet, and you start doing it. That's why you have to calculate your dive time each single time, every time you go down.
But also think of the other aspects of it. You don't have to go somewhere to get air. You know, you don't have
That's
to go
true.
To a dive place, mm-hmm. have them pump the air, and go. You know, you just go get a battery. You know, pop it in, go down. You're ready.
I'll bet you you'll need special batteries.
Who knows?
The
maybe.
Waterproof nuclear batteries. So
the batteries are powered by air.
Maybe a recharge. Right, exactly. So right now, he has, I don't even know what a 1 kilo lithium battery is, but he thinks it's going to give it.
1 kilo lithium battery?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Well, anyway, he says that that'll provide an hour of diving time.
Wow.
So.
Compared to a 25-pound tank, mm-hmm. that's great.
Right. So it's kind of neat.
You have to wear more weights, but...
Yeah, you use the tanks to keep you down?
No,
yeah. But you use weights as well, I mean.
Okay. And weights are a little more, you know, like... You know, although you still have some sort of tank on the back of it, so, you know.
That's pretty darn cool.
Hmm.
So. Excelentemente. So, this
He's
is in
Spanish.
Mainstream news, but I'm assuming everybody's heard about it. It's big geek news, is that Microsoft reached this huge compromise in Europe. Basically, they had a $600 million fine leveled against them because of an antitrust thing, mm-hmm. and now they've made the deadline a year later, and they're still fighting it, but they're going to have to release what Microsoft is all about to everyone in Europe and stuff like that. So they're going to have to also release a version of Microsoft Windows that does not have the media player attached, and they're going to have to show their open source stuff. Mm-hmm. So it becomes a very, very sticky decision here whether or not... it's okay to release a product, and basically they don't have any rights to it. It's basically like taking away their rights to it. I'm wondering if it was a European company, whether or not they'd be doing the same thing.
Well, but you know what they're saying is that people can have access to it, so they can figure out how to make their stuff compatible with it when it's a platform.
Well, they're saying that Microsoft has a monopoly, and that they don't like the fact that Microsoft has a monopoly and can basically throw them over a barrel at any one time.
I think it's pretty hard not to look at Microsoft and not scream monopoly, though.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you have Apple products, you have Linux you can install,
right.
It isn't a monopoly.
Yeah, but if you want to be functional in the workplace, you pretty much need Windows, you know?
True.
Okay.
True.
Okay. True. There it is.
Well, let's see. I've got a quick story here. Cyric Lofton. I believe his name is pronounced Cyric. It's C-I-R-R-O-C.
Okay, so what was that other name that you came up with before?
He was another researcher that was talking about those findings.
Oh, okay.
I just went to the wrong name in the wrong paragraph.
Ah.
Yes. Moving on.
Moving on.
Cyric Lofton, who played Jake Sisko in the Deep Space Nine Star Trek TV series, is putting out his own rap CD in the near future.
It's amazing. I haven't heard about this before.
Yikes.
Sure, the Jake Sisko character will have some lines dropped in here and there, the 26-year-old former actor said. That won't be the only Star Trek influence on the CD. One beat will use the original Star Trek theme song and have that beat in a hip-hop type of mode. For me, it's a natural transformation from poetry to this. I'm a rap lyricist. Rap is a very powerful tool, and either can be used correctly and incorrectly, and I hope that I can get my messages out there. I want it to be enjoyable, inspirational, and educational.
He calls that the prime rap directive.
I call that a recipe for failure.
Wow. That's just cold.
That's just true.
Yeah, homie.
I got to meet Aaron Eisenberg, who played his best friend on that show, Nog, right? And it was just really interesting talking to this Star Trek kid. You know, like there are only three kids from Star Trek that grew up on those shows.
That's true.
You know?
Alexander from Next Generation.
Oh, I guess four then.
Four.
Will Wheaton, Alexander, Nog, and Jake Sisko. You know, four of them were kids when they were hired, and...
And the one that Nana Visitor and the guy who played Julian Bashir, the doctor, on Deep Space Nine,
mm-hmm.
they actually knocked boots, and she was really pregnant in the...
Right, I remember that.
So yeah, she wasn't on the show.
Yeah.
The child?
Yeah,
no,
she gave birth... Well, okay. Fine, be specific.
Okay, there was an embryo on Star Trek, too.
Thank you.
You happy?
Thank you.
We have a Star Trek zygote.
That's important to me.
So Star Trek rap in the near future for everyone who's interested.
Isn't Booyah. Geek rap kind of like an oxymoron? It just doesn't... They're like, you know, hello?
No, we're cool. We can do it.
We be jiggy with it. With our own bad street selves.
Geekizzle.
Mine izzle. Izzle.
Okay. I don't know what I'm saying.
Izzle, izzle.
All right.
Well, I have another Microsoft story.
Excellent.
Apparently, this was reported in Variety. Bungie has a Halo script
mm-hmm.
that they are now hand-delivered by to all the studios by guys dressed in Spartan uniforms. They hand-delivered the script. They said for a down payment of $10 million... advance or 15% of the film's gross, whatever is higher, that's how much the script costs, but it comes with conditions. It has to have at least a $75 million budget that's below the line budget.
Wow.
Which is before they hire actors.
That's crazy.
Whoa.
Well, that's kind of apparently standard now for big action films, about a budget.
Right, and then they usually end up being $150 to $250 million.
Right, so after directors and actors, but you can put anybody in that costume.
Has any video game movie had that kind of budget?
I don't know.
No.
But this potentially
no way.
Could be...
Wait, Mario Brothers, yeah.
Double Dragon.
Ow!
And they sent a Bible, and they said, no matter what your rewrites are on
the
script...
For those of you not into the entertainment industry, a Bible means sort of a story background of the movie, not literally...
Like a writing guide.
Not yeah, King James or anything, no.
Right. They sent a Halo Bible that covers the past Halo storyline and their future ideas of the series.
Right. Except for the Passion, in which case it was a real Bible.
Right. The Bible was their Bible.
Sorry. Go ahead.
So the idea is that they cannot, doing the rewrites of the script, they can't violate what was in the Bible, what's in their the Halo Bible.
So it will take place in the Halo continuity.
But right. The second Halo sucked.
Well, not according to Bungie.
Uh-huh.
Interesting. So anyway, it's out there. It's at all the studios, and now they're waiting.
I'm okay. Actually fascinated to see how this plays out.
I'm kind of fascinated.
I love their idea of hand delivering it by people in costume.
Right.
I think that's brilliant.
Now,
it's a great idea.
Now, yeah, I've heard this before that Bungie pretty much said they're willing not to have a movie. They're willing just to not do the movie. In fact, they originally said the only way they were going to do a Halo movie is if Ridley Scott directed it and. You know, some famous person wrote it.
Right.
I'm not even
maybe
sure
that's in the Bible.
Yeah, right. So you know, I think they are willing to let it go.
Okay. Well, so, anyway. Could be very interesting.
I am tapped out of news stories.
Tapped out, Johnny.
The artificial limit of two news stories that was imposed on me in the past.
No.
Ooh.
You're out.
Yeah.
There?
Yeah, I got one.
Go.
This is under my favorite topic, those crazy Japanese. I love them, so I make fun. They have come up with a wheeled robotic dancing partner. Mm. Yes, a wheeled robotic dancing partner. Fully humaniform, full size, will dance to the cha-cha, salsa, merengue.
Wait, how do you do that with wheels?
It just goes back and forth. In rhythm.
Okay.
Does it have arms that...
Oh, yeah. Them?
Are there pictures?
Yep. We'll put them on the site.
I can't wait.
I'm kind of scared.
It's kind of... it's fuchsia, and almost... it's about 5'8", 5'9", and it whirls and twirls.
So, going by the news stories from last time, we are going to have a new artificial intelligence that can reproduce,
right.
Exist off of blood... And probably take you out for a few spins around the dance floor before it does the end.
Exactly. Just like LARPing.
Oh, you just sit there very quietly, Mr. Man.
Don, so you
just one? Alienated about it. One third of our audience, man.
Is it fully functional? Does it also do the horizontal dance?
Yes, Data.
The horizontal.
No, I have one last article.
The Lambada.
Well, if for those of you still trying to figure out what generation of next console you want to buy, perhaps you should consider the console that will be supporting porn. two Japanese porn publishers have announced plans to release movie titles on Sony's PlayStation Portable Entertainment Console.
Hells yes.
According to GamePro.com and other sources. The companies, HMP, Hump, and Glazy, say 8 titles will be available at retailers starting in July. The films will be released on the new Universal Media Disc, or UMD, optional optical media format, which lets consumers play movies on the handheld device. It's possible that these will not work on American systems, because apparently they may only work on Japanese and European devices. But there
you
apparently...
have to have penis fingers to use them.
Yeah, you're only going to have to use the directional pad.
Right.
You won't need to use both sides of the PSP. Apparently, though, there are rumors on the internet saying these things may be kind of blank, allowing them to be used across all PSPs. So
no region coding?
No region coding.
What does this mean for Pee Wee Herman? I mean, you know, he can basically bring his movie theater anywhere.
That's right.
PSP. Pee Wee Herman's sexy
in
penis.
In this day and age, I'm kind of surprised there are still porno theaters out there.
Me too, actually.
Well, it's not for watching movies.
I was going to say, I think it's hookup places at this point.
Yeah.
Women go to these things?
No,
there's
most
no
of
such
the theaters,
thing as straight.
Yeah, there are. There's one right near you.
No.
I've not seen a straight.
Okay, there are two porno movie houses in Los Angeles.
The Pussycat Theater, which is very famous, is closed.
It's closed?
Yeah, the one on Western.
When did it close?
Years and years ago.
Yeah.
No, but they were changing the... I drove by that thing every day, and they had, come see Veronica, come see Ellie, come see
Luanda. It was at least
Luanda.
4 or 5 years ago.
At least 4 years
ago. Last ones are just got... And they were all just video. It wasn't real film. It was just video.
See, I'm questioning that because I've gone by it. I've seen people in the stall, the ticket stall window.
Go check it out. It's closed.
Pussycat's done, man.
Well, it's funny because I was going to say there's two in Los Angeles that I know of. There's that place, which is, even when I thought it was open, that place is scuzzy, worn down, and kind of scary.
The Pussycat?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like there's this thin film of dirt and oil over the entire building.
Oh, yeah.
On the other hand, down the street from where Aaron used to live is the gay porno movie theater.
That's
which
booming.
Is bright neon. It's got lovely trees planted around it, families picnic in front of it. It's hilarious. It's
I drive by
and
there
the name
just
of it?
To look at the
oh, the Tomcat.
The Tomcat.
That's right. Yeah. The Tomcat.
I drive by there just to look at the title.
Oh, the titles are great.
Yeah. Like Shaving Ryan's Privates. It's great.
Yeah. I miss that, though. Like, when I was a kid, I'm sure all of you did this. You were in the video store, your parents were looking at videos, and you walked by that curtain just to catch a glimpse through the curtain, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I saw titles in there. These don't exist anymore. Romancing the Bone, Edward's Penis Hands.
3 Men and a Babe.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Gladiator. Come on, people. Gladiator. Come on.
Oh.
Oh.
Jeez.
That's funny.
That's funny. I'm laughing.
That's clever.
All right. Can I do my big one now?
Okay. Do your big one.
Do your big one.
Should we leave the room?
Everybody probably knows about this. It was announced yesterday. But Apple now is going to use
Intel
microprocessors.
Wow. This is going to be huge.
Next year. Yeah. This is pretty big.
No longer with IBM. IBM is going to all the game developers now.
I guess so. You know, Apple has been unhappy that every time they release a computer, they always have shortages because they cannot make the microprocessors fast enough. Mm-hmm. Apparently, they're unable to make the new G5 laptops small and dainty. Actually, they haven't made them at all because the processor gets so hot that you can't pack it into that small casing anymore.
Right.
And they haven't been able to solve the problem. So I guess that those two things alone was enough to just completely... And it's cheaper going the other route.
Yeah, well, this will be interesting because even though it's cheaper by far, I don't think that Apple's going to stop its sort of niche market high-end computers. No. So it'll be interesting to see what they do for portability. I mean, because they have currently the is it a G5 that fits inside the monitor? Everything's inside the monitor. Mm-hmm. So it'll see what they do with the next level of that.
I've always said Apple has a tremendous amount of potential.
Mm-hmm.
They really do. You can see it in the film industry. You can see it in architecture. And, you know, anything graphic, that's where I've always seen Apple just shine. But outside of that, they've always had problems.
Yeah,
well they only have problems because people won't develop for it. It's actually, you know, that's the only problem they have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not like it's, the hardware is generally the same. The difference is the pricing, you know.
Right.
They have and they have a closed system. You can't just go buy any graphics card and slap it in there.
Right.
Well, the good thing about that is they make sure that everything that's in their computer works.
Yep.
And when you put your raggedy ass whatever you bought cheap on eBay in your PC, and you spend the next 14 hours calling 15 people, then they say, it's not my problem, call the, you know, processor, call the memory.
No idea what you mean.
All Mac users always say that. I've never had that experience.
Oh my God.
Are you kidding me? No, I'm serious. Never had that experience in my life.
So many times on my PC.
Oh, please.
I never have.
I spent half my life. I mean, you know.
The only problem I've ever had was games. As I upgraded my PC and got a more powerful PC, certain games I owned just weren't able to run anymore because they were too backwards.
Right.
You know?
But that just happens.
I'm sure that's true of everything.
Sure.
But I really think the whole, like, the bitchiness about PC, PC testiness is really overrated.
Hmm.
I really
You've got to be kidding me.
No.
Up until
on the operating system, are you kidding me? The Windows is about as ancient as you can get.
Windows crashes fairly often, I admit that. But
you know
when
this
it,
computer here?
But
I
when
haven't
it crashes,
this thing off in about 8 months.
But when it crashes, you restart the computer and everything's fine.
Yeah.
When Macintosh crashes, although it's much rarer, it's an earth-shattering kaboom, I've heard.
No.
I've heard that if a Mac goes down, it's down.
Actually, I've got to tell you something. That's completely not true.
Oh, snap. Now it's flying.
I have to tell you, it's completely not true. What's really interesting is their new
system.
I've
heard this from dedicated Mac users. That's why I'm throwing this out.
Okay, we got two of them. Here we go.
You know, I'm not dedicated to Mac.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not pulling
this out of my butt. What are you trying to say, huh?
I'm not pulling this out of my
butt. What are you trying to say?
Taking off high heels, Dan. Come on.
I'm Mac, okay? No, look, their new system is, their new operating system is so stable that even when something crashes, you can just shut down what crashed and it doesn't affect the rest of the of what you're using. It's amazing how stable it is.
Mm-hmm.
And what Aaron said is true. The last time my computer crashed, I can't remember.
Yeah.
I mean, I cannot remember.
But I can also say that of my most recent PC buy.
Yeah.
And I've had that for 2.5 years.
Well, when Longhorn eventually comes out, which is the first real update in Windows in like 20 years, you guys will be probably amazed how better your computer will run because they're going to start from scratch. It's essentially what Apple did 5 years ago, which was they scrapped the operating system and started with a new, fresh, clean system. And, you know, that's what Windows people have been waiting for. Now, the interesting thing about this...
With
the new processor is that you'll be able to install both on your machine, on an Apple machine. So I can load up Windows, then play all the PC games if I wanted, finally.
That's what I was going to ask, was whether or not it's possible. So this is
totally
going to make
possible.
Apple buy platform.
Right, but here's the thing, is they're not selling the operating system separately to that you can will be able to install on any platform. You will still have to buy an Apple computer, but you can buy Windows separately and install it on an Apple computer. That's how they're building this thing.
That's actually kind of brilliant.
Obviously, that's a move on Apple's part to make sure that they sell machinery, and it's, you know, you can be pissed about that, which is it's an interesting move on their part.
Well, will the two operating systems failing.
Matt will complete this program in African click language. Well done.
Okay. Basically, will you be able to use both the Apple operating system and the PC operating system side by side?
Well, you would have to boot into that system.
Yeah, you'd have to reboot.
Just like if you installed Linux on your computer.
You can do that now.
You can install Linux on your computer and then boot in Linux and then go back and reboot in Windows.
Very cool.
So you'd be able to do the same type of thing. Okay. That would be great if you could hot swap boot.
Yeah.
I doubt that's going to happen, but, you know, so, it would be interesting.
So two quick things to just throw out there. One is that one of the things that Apple has been doing recently is it's been really aggressively pursuing creating its own software for stuff. So, I mean, when you get an Apple, you get all these programs for free.
Right.
You know,
hundreds of dollars worth.
Right, which is one of their ways of addressing the fact that people say there's not stuff to use. And it's all really well designed, which is what's great about it. The other thing I was going to say is that the next – we may have mentioned this in the past, but the next generation of computer is probably going to have basically a radiator in it, you know. Because
of the heat issue.
Right. And what's really interesting is I was reading something that said it may even be a radiator that doesn't work with water per se, but it works with liquid metal. Because liquid metal conducts heat so much better than
water. I heard them talking about possibly using sapphire for that. Do you remember sapphire?
No, what is that?
Right, it's that gelatin that you can like you can spread on your skin and then take a blowtorch at your arm and don't feel it.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It also has all the properties of water, but it doesn't stick to anything.
Yep.
So you could swim in it and step out of it completely dry. I don't think it's highly recommended that you do so, but conceivably you could.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it's probably a lot better than mercury, I'll tell you that.
Interesting. It's highly likely.
Very cool.
Well, we just did like 45 minutes of news, but since it's been a while and we haven't done a lot of news.
We haven't done a show in...
I know, so I decided, what the hell?
We're back.
We've done a show.
It's a podcast. Stop the damn thing if you're tired and pick it up tomorrow.
Why don't you love me?
It'll still be there.
We'll continue on, but... This is our kind of semi-Star Wars episode because we've all seen it. We all want to talk about it.
We're going to blow freaking plot points left and right here, man.
Yeah, we've given everybody time to see it.
So you got 45 minutes worth of geeks on. If you haven't seen it, shut it off now.
Exactly. So this is a warning. We are going to be talking about this as if everybody listening has seen it.
Spoiler!
This is a spoiler alert. If you've skipped this, tough shit.
Nice.
When you rewind it and listen to this, you'll be hating yourself.
I'm going
to
say it.
What are you going to say?
I'm going to say it.
Say it.
Anakin Skywalker is Darth Vader.
Ha! Oh.
All right, so.
You missed that plot point, didn't you?
Right.
You completely missed that one. Saw the movie.
Stepped it over.
Back in the day... One of my friends was waiting outside of a theater on the night of opening, and he's out there for the midnight show. He's been standing in line for 2 hours, and just as they're letting people in, somebody drives by, sticks their head out the window, and yells, "Darth Vader is Luke's father!"
Whew. Yeah. Wow!
Can you imagine?
That may be the first time I've ever heard of like a drive-by in reverse. Where someone in the car was gunned down by a group of pedestrians, you know?
That's pretty cold.
That's really cold, man.
Well, geeks, what did you think?
Why are you looking at me when you say geeks?
I freaking hated this movie.
I'm still trying to find something.
Okay.
I'm trying really hard.
I had to see
it
again with my girlfriend because she really wanted to see it. And I swear to God, I am such a fanboy. I paid $14 twice.
Wait, you told...
Because
you brought your girlfriend.
Because he had to go back to see it with his girlfriend. So I went back to see it with my girlfriend. And I paid for her. So, come on.
You've been triply screwed.
You were the one who said you were going to wait for like months.
I'm a fanboy. I suck.
Okay. This is my quote for this, okay? You know, I mean, I think we can all agree that the third Star Wars was better than episodes 1 and 2.
Yes, right. But that's not saying anything.
Now, wait. Now, you see, episodes 1 and 2 were notable... In how you really unforgettable in the fact that they were so bad.
They were so forgettable.
Right. And it's hard to. It's
no, no,
hard
no.
To
no
watch
they were not forgettable. They were awful. They were so awful. They stuck in your brain. Episode 3 is actually good enough that it falls into the forgettable category. You can watch it. You can walk away.
I agree
and
with
go,
that.
Wow.
Yeah, I'd agree
actually,
with that.
It's funny you said that because today I knew we were having this episode and I was thinking, wait a minute, I need to sit down and review it because I can't remember what happened in the movie.
Yep.
And I still can't remember what happened in the movie. Really.
Yeah.
It's like a bad video game.
Really bad.
Okay, so let's break this down.
Okay.
What is the problem? Is it a plot point? Is it acting?
Okay,
is it
one, he had no idea when he wrote episodes 1 and 2 what the hell was going to happen in 3.
I completely 1,000% agree with you. This movie was very clear that when he started writing the third script was the first time he had thought of how to deal with Darth Vader.
Hey, yeah. Let's put Wookiees in.
I am very sure that when he started writing episode 1, that it was not an arc that he started.
I think one of the big problems that I see in this... Now, this is... I'm stepping outside of the movie here a little bit, okay? Star Wars, Return of... The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi all are archetypal, right? They deal with these kind of deep...
They're hero stories.
Yeah, they're deep emotional and cultural stories.
Yes.
You save the princess... The fight against the father,
right?
You know, it's these really. It's the Joseph Campbell.
Well, he was basing it on Joseph Campbell, exactly.
Right, and
I'm so mad. I'm sorry, guys.
When he goes back to 1, 2, and 3, there is nothing archetypal anymore.
No, they're children.
No, wait.
And that's not that that he didn't have something to draw on.
No, the problem
he chose not to.
Yeah, the problem is that it is the most archetypal story of somebody turning dark to evil to the the dark father.
This is the tragic hero story.
Well, I just think it's badly. Yeah, it's so badly done. It's not even close. Okay. You know.
Well, let's the first thing he did that was a huge mistake was he set up rules in episodes 4, 5, and 6, and then he
broke them.
Yeah, midichlorians had to go.
Midichlorians. Someone being the whole Jesus virgin birth thing. I mean, all these things. Second biggest mistake he did is he had 3 episodes which are about a guy turning to the dark side,
which is a 1-episode story. Quite frankly,
no. I think this is the mistake. He did it in 1 episode.
He did it in 1 episode. He did it everything in the third episode.
Nothing.
That's totally be done in 1 episode.
Okay, it could. You are correct. It could totally have been done in 1 episode. It was. I stand firm in saying it was a big mistake.
Yeah.
He had three
episodes to do it incrementally.
My big problem with it is that you never see him as being on the part of the light side.
I never see him being part of the dark side.
No, I never saw in him the potential for good. I never saw it happen.
Potential for that's the problem with the
you didn't know
movie.
Potential
there's
for
no
anything.
Potential for evil. It's like, there's no. I woke up. I had a bad dream. You must go and kill some kids. Then
the thing
all
is,
right.
I think what he portrayed well though is the dark side isn't him like rubbing his hands and going maniacally evil. It's just him being really selfish.
Okay, wait.
That
was
his fault of the dark side.
No, he just thinks about
himself.
Matt and I have to disagree with you because by the end, he was not being selfish. He was fucking Fruit Loops.
Right. Yeah, he had no motivation to be a bad guy.
I mean, it was like
he just
should
didn't
I
want to live without her.
It's like, should I have eggs?
That was the reason put forward to us.
Well, yeah, but the love story was so weak.
Well, yeah.
I mean, what I love was that the people who defend this movie, and I understand that you guys, a lot of us are going to completely disagree with us, but people who defend this movie go, yeah, well, there are bad parts, but nobody's perfect. You know, and the thing about this is that that's what infuriates me is that George Lucas has $1 billion and like he makes this movie that does have good parts, like Anakin lying on this lava beach and having Obi-Wan scream at him, "You were the chosen one. You were supposed to bring balance to the Force." That's a great moment, but there was nothing that got me to there that made me want to watch this movie, that made me want to that was earned.
We should be absolutely on board with him at that point and almost in tears because it's true. He was the hero of all 3 episodes.
He was supposed to be there.
He was never heroic.
No, he
was
never cool.
He was supposed to be so cool, and we were supposed to dig him so much that when he hit that point, we were all really upset.
Oh, God, and what a lame way to frickin' let Darth Vader go out.
What,
and
then surfing on lava?
No, that's whatever. You know, if the two of them are on the thing, fine. I saw the battle again. It was kind of decent.
I was actually fine with the action sequences for the most part.
I didn't like the
jerkiness of the camera.
They were platformers.
I would have preferred... Yeah, well, they're hopping from platform to platform.
I know,
lava,
but it's almost like he built a video game first and then wrote a movie around it.
I agree and I understand that, but I think... Watching the lightsaber battles, I'm clinging to the lightsaber battles as something that was worth watching.
I think I heard one of our fanboys in the future going, no, he didn't design a video game. Okay, the shields that were on the ship in the first scene,
The thing that you had to shoot to knock out the shield was on the outside of the ship. Okay, at least in oh, episode...
Yeah.
I was... Come on!
I was tuned out already.
Okay.
I hated that opening sequence.
We've been cutting off Peter. We got to let Peter
At talk. Least in episode 6, they were smart enough to, you know, like, there's a shield surrounding everything. You know, it's being generated simply. It made some sense.
Yeah, the Death Star
wasn't so hard to fight. Other things... Okay, I am Obi-Wan Kenobi. I have just killed you almost. And now I'm going to leave you here to suffer and die a slow and painful death. I won't even put you out of your misery.
Not very light side.
This is just laziness. Okay?
Right. It's total laziness.
On that part and on the part of, you know, I am Yoga. I have been defeated. I cannot come back and try and fight again.
I couldn't figure that out because he
was whipping his ass.
Yeah, he was winning. Yoda was doing pretty damn well.
He's whipping his ass, and then he runs. It's laziness. It's poor writing.
And
in both of these cases, look, there are ways to do this. Okay, in Obi-Wan, okay, have someone show up and chase him the fuck away. You know,
exactly.
I mean, that's all you got to do.
Overwhelmed because he couldn't finish the job, and it haunts him at the end.
He can't kill him, and he can't do it, and he's like,
said
"I'm sorry,
that to Yoda," but then he never did it.
But yeah, you know, but there's a lot of things you can do. And then with Yoda, it's like, you know, okay, you really need to explain why the fuck Yoda's not going to... I'm sorry, I'm cursing this now. I never curse, but I am passionate about this. This sucks. I mean, you know, it's like you're not a writer, George, okay? You hire someone who knows what they're
doing. That's what kills me. Writers are so freaking cheap in Hollywood, and there are some really good ones out there. Mr. Lucas, hi. My name's Don. I'd love to help you on your next script, even just on conceptual levels.
So frustrating because, I've had this vision in my head of what it could have been.
Yeah.
You know? Like, in the first one, put frickin' Jake Lloyd in it for 5 minutes. 5 minutes. Right? And then get it to Hayden Christensen.
Get it
to Hayden Christensen.
No, I agree with you.
So then we suddenly see the first film is all about this kid imprisoned on a planet for 18 years. He's a slave. And it sucks. Now I get the reason why he's angry, right? Maybe the pod chase, right? We see how he's a human, he's a human, and basically he can't. He's operating at the high end of the force, right? So then when we go up into space, it's not little, you know, mannequin Jake Lloyd going, "Oh look, I'm in the hangar bay. Maybe I can shoot. What does this button do?" Right? Maybe it's suddenly him being. He's just running for his life, running away from missiles. He doesn't know how to use anything on the ship. The thing blows up. Mm-hmm. Keep Darth Maul throughout all frickin' 3 movies.
Yeah, you needed Darth Maul. Writing him out was a big mistake.
Stupid.
Yeah. Well, on top of that, okay, why is Obi-Wan such a pussy?
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Everybody in it is.
I know.
Obi-Wan is a real pussy.
Obi-Wan has no excuse to be a pussy.
Obi-Wan, at the very... Look, here's the thing. This is what they should be saying. Obi-Wan should, at the very least, you know, have this sense of incredible wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the whole thing about the dark side is the dark side, you go to it because it's more powerful in terms of, like...
It's quicker.
Pure raw force, it's like using a sledgehammer, whereas the force is like, you know, the light side is
open
like...
Open hand, closed fist.
Yeah, it's a little slower, but it's in the long run a more powerful method, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he should have embodied that, you know. Instead, it's like he's this guy who's constantly getting saved because I'm not so good, so I need Hayden Christensen to save me.
What frustrates? It's in the line in episode 4 when last we met, I was but a learner. Now I am the master. Doesn't that give you the sense that, oh my God, I got my ass schooled by you last time we met? Now, okay, it's time.
My problem was that Obi-Wan at no point stopped being flip. There was no dignity to the character throughout the entire third movie.
Right.
I actually got the sense that he was Anakin's sidekick through most of it.
Yeah, and how do you make Natalie Portman suck?
That takes effort.
That takes really effort.
I'd really like to make her suck because.
Yeah, I mean that was their whole movement. Like the Jedi won't let me fuck Natalie Portman. Are you out of your mind? Natalie Portman. Of course I'm going dark side.
Well, that's my biggest problem. My biggest problem of the third movie is that there was no motivation, well, for anybody to do anything, but especially for our hero to go the direction he went. We have no immediate danger or pressure on him. He gets a vision that might happen in some future. So there's no timer. There's no bomb about ready to go off. There's no pressure on him. In fact, we're not. He's not even quite sure if it's definitely going to happen. He just says, well, it happened the last time I had a dream. And his wife says, no, don't worry. I'm not going to let it happen. Then it takes just a few. And I actually thought the movie was going to get good in this one moment. It was halfway in the middle when the emperor, or when the senator says, there are certain things that you can learn.
Yeah.
And it's things that sounded like it, that the dark side could be kind of a gray area, and that's what makes it really dark.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Nazi movement. The real scary ones aren't the skinheads who are really obvious. The scary ones are the politicians who look exactly like everybody else. Yeah. And they have these ideas that you go, you know, at first you go, oh, yeah, you're right. You know, that sounds good. And then you get led down this path and you go, wait a minute, this guy is a complete twist.
First taste free.
But don't you think in Jedi, even though people had such problems with Jedi, when Luke is hammering on Vader like, no tomorrow, you're my dad, I'm pissed off.
Right.
This is what's going
on. He had motivation.
You're not coming after my sister. Everybody's like, oh, my God, Luke's going to go dark side.
Right.
And at no point was I ever like, oh, yeah, he's going to go dark side. And then he made the decision, and I was like, why?
And you know what? Even though most of us agree that the third movie, episode 6, isn't the best of the three original.
Right.
But to me, that moment is the best moment of all three movies.
I totally buy it.
And the reason is because it's really the point when I watched those three movies, everything came together. Han Solo and Leia were screwed on the planet. The entire rebel forces were outside, and you find out that the emperor knew that they were coming. They were doomed. Luke goes up there and says, "Hey, I'm going to get my father back, and I don't need to turn." And then they find out through him that they don't need him anymore because they can go after Leia. The entire cast and the entire universe is screwed at that one moment.
Right.
And then Luke snaps, and that's when you went, you know what? I could probably
go dark side
if I were him too. There was no moment at all, not even one single breath of moment that I ever felt that I could identify with Anakin wanting to turn.
Right.
And then
but the
he
real
goes and kills kids.
Right. And you know what?
Okay. He just ran off to kill them too.
But you see, the thing is, episode 6, if you think about it, the problems with episode 6... There's a lot of great stuff in Episode 6. The only real problem they had was the Ewoks.
Right.
Okay. Because the Ewoks, you just didn't believe it. You didn't believe that the Ewoks, you know, oh my God, I'm like a midget and I can destroy a human being can't because, you know, I can use rocks, and they didn't think about that. It's like, it was stupid. If it had been what it had been intended to be, a Wookiee planet, it would have been really
which
great.
Which he did in this movie for no purpose other than to do it.
Now we go back to what you're talking about with Episodes 1, 2, and 3. Okay, big problems with this one is, okay, the whole concept of going to the dark side isn't this you're tricked into the dark side because...
Right. It's a decision.
It's a decision, and it's a decision about power, okay? And it's the whole concept is it had to be the same decision that Luke had to make, and it had to be a decision... It's the same... Okay, Superman has a decision to make in terms of going to the dark side. You know, he has incredible power... And how do you use it?
Right.
You know, and that's what it has to be about, you know?
Well, he makes one questionable decision at the top of episode 3 and kills Dooku.
Why?
Which was the most why bring him in the first place?
Right.
And then they get into the fight with, I mean, if that had been Darth Maul throughout all three, and Darth Maul cut off his arm and everything, and then he has this angry moment where you just, did it.
I would have bought that in spades. Mace Windu, or one of the only black guy in the whole series, when he was about ready to do it, it was going to be legit. Remember, he was going to kill...
He was going to kill the Emperor.
Yeah. So what's the difference?
I don't think it was... I mean, I thought that was portraying the light side as... being kind of fragile,
but like, it was,
he could have gone to the dark side right there
why
too.
Why was it fragile? Oh, so they were showing.
Yeah,
Mace
I think
Windu
they were
sitting, was about ready to go.
They
yeah.
were confused as hell because Mace Windu being the epitome of you know one of the big leaders of the group. That's not a smart decision.
I agree. Yeah. It just made the light side look weak.
On top of that, if you're gonna have okay, this whole rule about there's only one master and one Jedi,
that's stupid.
I mean, and one apprentice. Okay, it's stupid. They should have had armies of the dark side. They should have. I mean, they should have had people turning left and right, and then he has to choose. It should have been a huge fracture within the Jedi Order.
Oh, that Night of a Thousand Knives when they killed off all the Jedi, that was the most pathetic assassination scene I've ever seen.
What do you mean?
What do you
mean? When he was like, when it was Order 66?
Execute Order 66.
See, yeah. I didn't mind that. I thought that was lame. I didn't mind it. They should be able to sense that something's not right.
No. But I mean, because it's coming from behind them and everything like that, that's fine. But the fact is that there was nothing that got me to that point where I believed it, and they made the clone troopers so frickin' lame in terms of what they were that I didn't buy
it. I'm fine
with
the Jedi losing. I'm fine with them dying. But I'm not fine with only one of all the Jedi they show actually sensing something coming.
Right, Yoda.
Only one. No, the guy with the high forehead noticed it,
right,
too.
Right.
Yeah, but then, like, the only female Jedi
gets stabbed in the back.
Gets shot in the back without drawing her lightsabers. That pissed me off. I would have loved to have seen one female Jedi do something in the entire Star Wars series.
Right.
To address the one,
and some of them should have gotten away. I mean, it should have been mixed.
I actually have a theory about why they have that one Sith thing. Is it explains why there's not a million Sith lords in the other three series.
Right.
There's only Darth Vader.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to explain why it wasn't filled with dark side people.
Right.
Because really, there's only like two Jedi in all the third movie. So why? Why is there only Luke and Darth Vader?
Well, actually, I think that's the reason why this prophecy is it actually does work. The prophecy is Anakin will bring balance back to the Force. And in the opening of the movie, the Jedi are all over the place. They're all powerful. They're in every realm of existence.
But see, that would have been a great plot point.
After Darth Vader, there's two Jedi left.
But that would have been a great plot point if the Jedi somehow seemed to get out of balance.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why kill all the Jedi would then make sense to the people of the Republic. That
we'd be willing to forgive Order 66 if it got if it got us to that point. I mean, come on. I mean, like, even the clone troopers, where you have, like, every single time the droids are on the screen, like, somebody bumps into them, they're like, oh, excuse me, or get Roger, back Roger. To work.
What was
Roger,
it with
R2-D2 Roger,
taking
right?
out a phalanx of guards?
Well,
too.
I didn't want to think about R2-D2 levitating, and then that doesn't exist in our movie. In fact, he gets killed by Jawas. But, you think about that. In that scene with R2, there are two robots, and one of the robots goes, hey, cut that out, get back to work, right? And you think about every single time you see the clone troopers, they're like, yes, sir, we will do it. Mm-hmm.
Right.
They act more like robots than the robots.
Yeah,
it's right. Like, what are you doing?
But you know why that is, right?
Why? Because they're the same guy? All Jango Fett?
No, because, you see, Lucas has really specifically made it so that there's very few. Okay, episodes 4, 5, and 6, there's danger. People are getting killed in episode 4, 5, and 6. I mean, people are getting killed. This is like serious stuff. Episodes 1, 2, and 3, just a clone trooper. Don't worry about it.
They don't want to look human because he wants to be able to kill them without the affecting
parents
his family,
going crazy.
His new family. If you're an artist out there, do not have kids. This is what happens.
No. If you're an artist out there, don't have kids, and then take a movie that was made for adults and suddenly remake it for kids.
But no, right. I mean, that's fine if you want to do that. But you know what? The first
No. It's not fine.
No,
it is not fine. It is not fine to take something that you have.
How old were you when you saw the first three? Then it was made for kids.
Okay. I'm sorry. It was made for adults as well. It was not written down to people. And
that's what I'm saying.
When you make something like this, I'm sorry. You have a contract that you've made with people. It's not about being selfish and going, I'm just going to make whatever I want. Okay.
No, I mean, what he made was...
Which is what he's done now.
He made a stupid film. Whether or not that was his intent was to make it for children.
He absolutely made it for his kids.
You can't
make Godfather the early years. Like,
No. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that in 1, 2, and 3, right, what he did was make a dumb film under the intent that I'm making it for kids. Episodes 4, 5, and 6
I was a kid when I saw them, and it was great.
Yes, but... See, but the, you can watch them now and not feel like your intelligence is being insulted.
Right. So right. Why not do that with the first three and make them for kids in the same way?
Okay, I think what Peter's saying is he didn't try.
No, what I'm saying is that when he made episodes 4, 5, and 6, he wasn't making them for kids.
He made them for everybody.
He made them for himself. As an adult, okay, mm-hmm. And so they were all adults made them for adults, and they were made so that kids could enjoy them as well. But when he made episodes 1, 2, and 3, and he said this, he made them for his kids.
Yeah,
he wrote them down to his kids.
Now, okay, and I'm going to defend George Lucas a little bit.
The characters.
I'm going to defend George Lucas a little bit on this point. It is very rare that a filmmaker gets to make an independent film like this. This is his film, and he has no contract with anybody.
No.
Is a shame.
No, you misunderstand the phrase contract.
No, and okay. I don't, no,
you,
oh,
you,
I do.
You have, you, no, you, cause he has a contract with the viewers
no, I
who have supported
that.
Him.
No, I understand you know? What you were saying, and he does not.
Yeah, but he could shit, and we'll see.
I
think he absolutely does.
I would not watch him shit.
You feel like he does. This is one of the few times that a artist can... Artists... should be making films for themselves. Now, whether you like the art or not is your deal. Now, it's a shame.
That's
and
true.
Trust me, I'm pissed.
I hate
that
to
I
agree
didn't
with
like
you on
his
this.
Art.
No, he's so right. I mean, because
now,
I hate what he's produced as a product, but when I've watched documentaries on it, I've agreed with every single
exactly.
step that he's taken.
Every time I watch a show about episodes 1 and 2, and when he gets interviewed, I always go, well,
okay.
it was his.
No, look. When you make something and your audience supports you,
mm-hmm.
okay, you have an obligation to them, you know, and whether mm-hmm. or not you can, whether or not you have the power to throw that obligation away, what I'm saying is that you have an obligation. People loved episodes 4, 5, and 6. They
I think you'd get in trouble
incredible
if you do
passion
that.
For it. If he wants to make something that throws away the rules that he made in episode. Throws them away,
mm-hmm.
then he should just make a different
right.
film.
Now I'm up for consultation, and I think he should have definitely farmed it out and gotten advice, which I don't think that he did. But I was in agreement with exactly what you're saying, Pete, until I heard one person talk. It was the guy who's the head of 20th Century Fox.
Okay,
and he said George Lucas came by and he just came up to me and he wasn't interested in what I said, and he said, "Hey, here's Star Wars, and are you interested in putting it out through 20th Century Fox? And you know, here's a baseline sum, no negotiation." He just handed it to me. Now, you know what? I'm the head of a studio. I've put out 20 films, 25 films a year. I think I've got an opinion in this, and he wasn't interested. And I heard this, and I'm like, "Well, yeah, you bozo. He's George Lucas. He's made his film. You know, who are you to talk about it?"
But then I went, wait a second. Who am I?
Wait.
Know? But there's a difference, okay? There's a difference between one person saying, "I'm going to tell you how to make your film. And I should have control over that." And a difference between someone saying, "You should live up to the rules you set out. You set those rules out, and you should live up to them." I'm not telling him how he should live up to them beyond the fact that he should live up to the rules he set out.
But remember, his rules, the real rules that he set out is that his real rules is that I don't compromise. That's the only rule that an art...
No, that is not true.
You're both talking on different levels here. Hold on. You're both talking on different levels. You're talking about, as an artist, he should have complete freedom to do with what he wants. But what Peter is setting up is, as a storyteller, you have established a story. You have established a convention. And you cannot go back and undo what you have done.
No, I agree with those are wrong decisions. Trust me, I'm pissed as hell that I didn't like what he made. But I would never say that he has an obligation to make a decision when it came down to it, whether it's something he wants or whether he thinks you're going to like it.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Hold on,
because
let me put it this
the
way.
The contract
that's not what I was
between
saying.
His fans, he owes something to his fans. He made a piece of art that people loved and wanted to be paid for. He doesn't owe anybody. We should be thanking him
you
for giving
what?
Us the first three movies.
Let me put it this way.
God damn it, George Lucas, if you ever come out with one of these piece of shit things again, I'm going to kick your ass.
Let me put it this way. In the 1950s, you had serials, right? It was a short, like, 5-minute episode, and it would usually end with a cliffhanger, right? So, like, a guy drives a car off a cliff. You see him in the car as it goes off the edge, the look of horror as it begins to drop off the edge.
Which is what he based Star Wars on.
right?
Right.
And then the next week you go back and you watch again, right?
And he didn't fall off the cliff.
Right. And in the redux that you see a week later, he dives out of the car right before it jumps off the cliff. Sure. That is cheating, right? That is breaking the rules of the game, and that's exactly what Peter is saying. You are throwing out your story for the sake of, this is art, I can do what I want.
Although,
yes, you can, but fuck you, and I don't have to support you.
Right, no, I totally agree.
And the thing saying is, he'll shit and we'll watch it, is he may not be a good writer, he may have broken every convention in the world, but he shits and we'll watch it.
That's the problem.
Actually, that's the problem.
Now, here's the thing. As an art... Let's say I was George Lucas.
Let's just pretend for a moment.
Yeah. I would have said, listen, if I had perspective, and he may not.
He doesn't.
I would say, listen, I really want to make what I want to make. And the best thing is maybe hire a writer to write this.
You had 20 years to do it.
Yeah. And work with a writer to get what I really would think would be great. Mm-hmm. I'm not worrying about whether Peter is happy or not.
Right.
But to really make something that is great. Then I get and then if I get a great product and you like it, cha-ching.
Right.
Let me actually come at this a different way.
Okay. Are we off topic or is this still on?
No, this is on, man.
I think this is going to be a one topic episode.
Yeah. Okay. You know, sometimes, you know, as a writer, I have very strong opinions about things. And sometimes I will read a friend's piece of work, right? Mm-hmm. And I will read through it and I will find something that's not working.
Right. Okay.
And we'll talk about it and I'll have an idea about how to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not. You know, but that's not what my friend wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
so, point at me.
I'm not talking about you. I'm not even referring to you.
I'm kidding.
So, that's not what my friend wants to do. So, a lot of times, what happens is in the conversation, my job, you know, as a friend who's offering, you know, trying to offer some help,
criticism,
is to figure out how to help this person solve the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And create something that they like, you know, that is what they want to make, but still fixes the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what I'm saying is, I firmly believe he could have made a film that would have still satisfied him artistically now and not shat all over the franchise that people had supported him on that gave him the ability to have the lifestyle and everything that he has now. I mean, people supported him before.
But the thing is, that's
obvious. That's like saying, you know what? If that painter would have just painted a better picture, isn't it obvious he should have just painted a better picture?
Yeah.
Well, no shit. But he thought it was good.
Yeah,
it was art.
But at the same time, okay, it's not an entirely correct analogy because he has to be aware that he was breaking rules of things.
Of course he is. Now, here's my two defenses of George Lucas, and I am mad. You've already heard me yell. Here's my two defenses of him. One, he stopped directing after Jedi, right? He stopped directing after Jedi, so 20 years, right? He was working as an executive producer or a producer, right? So he comes back to Episode I 20 years later.
Well, no, he did direct in between there.
Not really.
Howard the Duck.
Yeah, great.
Well, what was the other one? He did another movie too.
He did Willow.
No, he didn't.
No, he didn't do Willow. Executive produce.
No, but right. But he did direct something that had to do with like some big tall tower or something. Radio something.
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure. I'm not positive. But
I don't think so.
Sure.
But anyway, 20 years between Jedi and what he's done now.
Uh-huh.
You don't do anything for 20 years. You're gonna be a little rusty. So this is the first movie after George Lucas has made two movies, so he's kind of getting back into practice.
Yeah, but you know, but I gotta say, I mean, I'm not particularly upset. I mean, the thing that doesn't upset me the most is the directing. You know?
Oh God,
there's a huge, serious.
No. I mean, I understand that, but that's not the thing that upsets me the most. I mean, you know, that's not the thing that we're talking about. And in all of our conversations, we haven't talked up to this point. We have not talked about the directing of the movie at all.
Oh. No,
well, that's because the concrete of the movie, the script, is so horrible that even a great director couldn't schlock through that piece of crap.
And you know what?
Even the actors, who we know there's some great actors in there, they can't even pull off that crap. It's so bad that great actors cannot pull off the lines at all.
Okay,
it's
so,
impossible.
So, but I'm just saying, you know, I give you the fact that the directing may have some problems. Fine, you know, I understand that. You know, now, and that's not what we've been criticizing.
Now, in terms of listening to his fans,
yeah,
I think he's done it, but he's done it one movie too late each time. He's like, you know, he makes this movie with Jar Jar Binks. Everybody goes about Jar Jar, hates him to death. Right? The next movie, Jar Jar has one line. This mm-hmm. movie, Jar Jar has nothing. Right?
He had a close
up. You know, he talks. They talk about how there's not enough Anakin turning to the dark side, so he makes the darkest movie that he's made to date. He makes it PG-13. He is listening, but he's not listening in the way we want him to. You know, we want him to be ahead of us, and he's been behind us every single time.
I would argue that the stuff he did is what I predicted he would do. I don't think he's listening. I think that's a natural progression
from one to three.
Fundamental level.
No, I think Jar Jar is a reaction.
I think Jar Jar is a reaction.
Jar Jar is probably a reaction.
That was going to be the next Chewbacca.
Yeah, I'd agree. Probably true. But Chewbacca. First one is childish, immature, and ridiculous, right? The second one is whiny and adolescent. I would say the third one is sort of vaguely adult, you know? Mm-hmm.
Telling you, man. Hayden Christensen should have been in the first movie, hire a 30-year-old for the second movie, and then you get, you know,
yeah, but that's like
age him up for the next
that's
one.
That's just fixing the little pretty stuff in the top. It was so horrible at its base level. I mean,
no, because I think that if your character, of Anakin
one,
is strong.
You have to keep Padme as being a viable love interest. In the third one, I'd forgotten why she was interesting to anyone.
I did not
care.
Yeah,
she's pretty. But what else, you know?
She was an incubator.
Yeah.
And, God, can you have one scene without CGI? Could you just let Obi-Wan deliver the babies?
Anakin had no potential for good, ever. Like, he was never portrayed as having any hint of good.
Yeah, he wasn't a tragic hero because he was never a hero.
Yeah, he was just a bitchy asshole.
Let's put Luke on his home planet with his relatives and let him keep the last name Skywalker.
They'll never find him.
Yeah, the Empire will maybe not find him in about 45 minutes.
I'll state again, the best actor in the third movie and arguably the second and probably the first, Yoda.
Well, Ian McDermott really ripped it up in the third one, the Emperor. He did tear it up.
He tried pretty hard.
He was damn
good.
But
I still think Yoda gave a better performance.
Come
Yoda
on,
had
that,
better lines.
Come on, that talkie-talk scene where they're watching the weird Cirque du Soleil and big circle things in the third one, and he's like, have you heard the story of Darth blah, blah, blah? Yeah, look at this. And I was like, you insidious, nasty bastard. And I was back in the film for 5 minutes.
Yeah. That was the scene I was telling you about. That was the one scene. It's going to go good.
But by the same token, the big seduction scene against Mace Windu? No.
Mace Windu is not a Star Trek character.
No, he's not a Star Wars character either.
Or Star Trek. Star Wars.
I thought I was
Stop
the only
it.
One.
Black
that.
Hole.
That's because if you listen to the way Samuel L. Jackson says every line, they all go up at the end like he's about to say motherfucker.
Well, you see, the thing is, he's always, you know, look at Yoda. You know, look at Obi-Wan. They are very focused and calm and
he was
and
the
present.
Yin to their yin.
Oh yeah. And he's always like, you know, he was like a dark side guy. He should have gone to the dark side.
But, I mean, yeah. Oh,
Jedi, that's what they were studying.
No, but he was totally like, I don't trust him.
Motherfucker.
Party's over, motherfucker.
You listen to Samuel L. Jackson's lines in that film. When I saw it the second time, I just kept on adding motherfucker to the end of what he was saying. And suddenly I was
like, that'll be part of our new drinking game. Every time you watch that movie, drink whenever someone is overwhelmed by the urge to say motherfucker.
It's like in The Matrix when in the Lord of the Rings when you want to go Mr. Anderson after every
Elrond line. Absolutely.
Yes.
Exactly. So I got to say, the worst thing about Episode 3 was that it gave you hope.
Yeah.
The worst thing about it was that...
Right, that was the first episode.
That's why Episode 4 is A New Hope. I now know.
No.
Now, wait a minute. No. We do have a show ready to... It's in pre-production, right?
Yeah, yeah. The TV show.
The TV show.
Hopefully with Matt King on it.
It's It's Star Wars Christmas Special 2, right?
Is that why you've been defending it
That's why I've been defending it. Yeah, please, Mr. Lucas, give me a job.
Give me a job. I want
Star
to be a Jedi.
Star Wars Christmas Episode 2, Bea Arthur is back, and so is Jefferson Starship. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent.
Art Carney.
We built this movie.
All right. All right. So
we should move on. Okay. We wanted to do another Star Wars version. Okay, so what we wanted to do is another geek hero versus bit here at the end of this, but we're going to do
versus geek hero versus.
I got some obscure ones, so.
Okay, but this is going to be Star Wars characters only this time.
Ultimate Hero Showdown.
All right, Don. You've got a couple, I know.
I've got a couple. All right, I figured the first thing that came to mind was minority matchups, because we've got so many minorities running amok in the Star Wars universe.
Does this count as aliens that are hinting at minorities?
Oh, hell yeah. I got a couple of mine.
Like those, like, fish dudes from Episode 6? You get Lando's
friend. Yeah. No, I got him in one. If Don does it before me,
No, I'm gonna go Lando Calrissian. And we'll give him a couple guards. Lando Calrissian and the Sky City Police Force that he led.
Oh yeah.
Versus Mace Windu, our official black male characters.
Lando, he's too cool.
Mace would carve him into little chunks, motherfucker.
Lando freaking hawked malt liquor on TV for like 5 years, man.
Lando is so scrappy. He's one of those. He's like Han Solo. Han Solo could take care of a Jedi.
Which Jedi?
The average Jedi. And Mace Windu is an average Jedi. And I think
Mace Windu is one of the top.
Lando
Calrissian was a smart.
Yeah, Mace Windu in the hierarchy of Jedi. Mm-hmm. Is supposedly they never showed him the way they should have, but the reason why Mace Windu has it down with the Emperor and busts him up is because Mace Windu is supposed to be the best lightsaber fighter ever.
Apparently, Yoda was average.
Yoda's supposed to be the best use of the Force in its pure raw form.
Where are you getting this information?
It's straight out if you read the book and like that.
Hello, I only deal with canon Star Trek.
I'm talking about the book of the movie. Of them.
That doesn't count.
Written by George Lucas, my friend.
Doesn't count.
The book
not,
of the movie.
It was edited out.
I'm with Aaron on this one.
No, it's just a way they describe it.
Yeah, I could make it up, too. If it's not in mass release and we're not all familiar with it, no.
Whatever.
All right, so you say Mace what's
his Mace Windu is supposedly.
Peter, you have waiting on this
I'd
one?
Go with Mace Windu.
Come on, he busted
ass. I'm sticking with you on Lando Calrissian.
He busted ass.
He was smarter. Lando Calrissian was a lot smarter, and he was a devious, dirty fighter.
All right, I'm going off of that to the minority thing.
Okay.
So Jar Jar Binks versus the big-lipped Billy Dee Williams sidekick in Empire.
And what is he?
Jar Jar always gets his ass kicked.
It's true.
Yeah,
but
he's
Jar
got
Jar
that
always
tongue.
Lost.
He does have the tongue. And the other guy could just fly.
And the other guy was like, "Buddha, Buddha, Buddha."
I think the other one was a Soul Calf from Manon.
Yeah, he actually has a name. There's a website that has all the characters. He actually has a name. I didn't write it down.
That's the only alien race and planet I know from Star Wars.
I couldn't remember his name. That's so funny.
Yeah.
Okay, you do another one, Don.
Me?
Yeah.
We're just going to go through all mine?
No, I'll do another one after you.
Okay.
I only have one.
Women were a minority in this, too. However, I think the Padme versus Leia fight, we'll do that in a moment, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Well, but I'm going to go with Anakin's mom, can anyone remember her name, versus Aunt Beru. Come on. This is the match that needs to be done.
Aunt Beru.
Yeah,
she was a
blocky woman.
That's funny. Okay, I have one. Teek versus Salacious B. Crumb.
Those are the
Do you know who these people are?
No,
those are
the music credits?
No.
No, they're the musicians.
Salacious B. Crumb is that.
Oh, right.
The Jabba the Hutt dude.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, God.
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
Now, Teek is from that television movie.
Oh, God.
About the Ewok planet. It was the real fast one.
Oh, yeah.
All over the place.
Teek would kick his ass. Teek would whoop ass all over.
I don't know. That, Teek Teek was cute. The other one wasn't cute.
No, he was mean.
I put my money on the not so cute one.
Salacious B. Crumb?
Yeah, he had teeth.
I'm going to go Teek because I think Teek was actually had skills. Okay. He had skills.
Fair enough.
All right. C-3PO.
Right.
And an Ewok horde who think he's God.
Right.
Versus Lobot, who's Lando Calrissian's helper on the cloud, the guy who had the robotic, bald the bald okay. guy with the robotic thing around his head, and two guards. Because they each have one, they're each the controller
of
sub forces. So,
well, first of all, the Ewoks have this amazing ability to take out anything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they took out Imperial Walkers.
They were able to conjure like chopped down redwoods.
Let's be realistic, though.
Well, the wood to crush the
Lobot would be dead, man.
What if the Lobots walk into the wood? Yeah. You know, what if the Lobots are... if it's like in a clearing?
If Cloud City hovered over
a
clearing
in
the Ewok forest...
Lobot had to be controlled.
That's true.
He was like Spock when they took out his brain.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's got lightning fast...
C-3PO was the brightest apple in the barrel there.
Yeah. Well, he was.
I think I have to go with the brainless, lobotomized cyborg man over the protocol.
I'm going
droid.
With Lobot, too, actually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Peter, you have one?
Okay. Yoda versus Darth Vader. So.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, the Emperor does say that his apprentice will become more powerful than both of us in time. So it
Darth Vader
depends.
In his prime years.
Darth Vader in his prime, and Yoda from episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
Oh, old Yoda.
Old Yoda.
So Yoda, prime Yoda.
Prime Yoda versus
I'm gonna say Darth Vader.
Yeah, me too.
I think the whole concept is that Vader really is the tragic aspect of the entire light and dark side is that he went both ways, and so he really is supposed to be the ultimate Jedi
who is most powerful. Ah!
Yeah.
Okay. At least that's if I had written the scripts, that's how it would have been.
Yeah.
I think you.
And
have
what was
there
that thing
there.
Like? Hey, I got to teach you how to turn blue.
I'm
and
sticking with Yoda. Yoda's the man.
So you can come back. I'm sorry.
I'm curious. I am curious.
Yoda's the man.
Okay. You think Yoda?
I'm sticking with Yoda. Yoda is Yoda. He's Yoda.
Okay. Yoda. Let me throw one more out. The Rancor.
Oh.
Versus the Sarnak Pit.
Sarlacc
Pit.
Sarlacc Pit is a planet in and of itself. It would just whoop the ass.
You know, really? It's supposed to be big enough?
It's supposed to go all the way down to the center of the planet, or halfway there. It's supposed to be immense.
So he doesn't
have
to jump
in
there. He could rip the thing apart. Yeah.
That's in the book.
That's canon, man. That's canon.
Well, whatever goes in never comes out.
Well, you know, when you're
I
in
guess
the...
if he never goes in, though, he could just kind of fill it up with sand.
Yeah,
he could
just sit there and kick sand into it all day long.
Well, even if he fell in, though, here's the question. If he fell in, would he rip the freaking guts out of this thing on the way down?
Well, part of the extended books, they say Boba Fett crawls out because he wears Mandalorian armor and he could...
Oh, they save him in the books?
They say Boba Fett made it.
All right. I'm going to say pit thing.
Yeah,
probably. It's too mysterious and it seemed like there's something was going on there.
And it had tentacles.
All right. The Gungan nation versus the Ewok nation.
Oh, first of all, it had tentacles...
Yeah.
Later. No, did they have the tentacles?
No,
you're right.
It had tentacles always.
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry.
The Gungan nation versus the Ewok nation.
Wait, what were the Gungans?
The underwater, hey, wait a second, here's a lake, let me dive into it, put this thing in my mouth, and I'm going to end up in the ocean.
We can only hope that the Ewoks would win.
I'm going to say Ewoks.
I'm going to say the Jamaicans.
Yeah. I think once the Gungans start exporting their special weed,
The Ewoks are all like, yab yab.
I gotta go with the
That's
Gungans
because
they were
means.
Able to pull like force field technology out of a snail's ass for their big fight against the Empire.
Hell
so.
Yeah! All right,
this
ready?
This is some good ganja.
All right, Amidala, weighed down by her big heavy headrest. Versus the blue tentacle chick dancer from Jabba's sail barge who ends up getting eaten by the Rancor.
Ooh.
I gotta
She's
go with the blue
hot.
Chick.
She's pretty hot.
I gotta go with the blue chick. She's less weighed down, you know?
Yeah, she seems like she could kick some ass.
Okay.
Okay. Jabba the Hutt versus 12 Ewoks, but they don't get to use any of their swinging chains.
All right, you guys are going.
I got to go with Jabba. I got to go with Jabba.
Jabba. Jabba's going to twist and eat
he
some
would
frogs.
Eat their asses.
Well, yeah. You sure? I mean, there's 12 Ewoks. They could, like, jump them all at once and bite their shit
here's,
out of them.
Here's one of my big ones. Here's one of my big ones. Darth Maul versus Darth Grievous.
Darth Grievous was an idiotic.
Whoa. General Grievous?
General Grievous.
General Grievous.
Oh, please. He came. Darth he was Maul. Like, you, he cut off two hands instantly, ripped open the little ribcage thing, shot him in the heart. It was like the easiest kill.
General Grievous.
General Grievous, like, I'm supposed
portrayed
to be
the, in the cartoon.
As portrayed in the cartoon, he was badass.
Oh, he
okay,
was.
Wait, but we're not talking about cartoon. We're talking about movies only.
No.
No, he considers the cartoon.
He did the Christmas special for guys.
Okay, all right. Well,
I'm quoting the books.
I haven't seen the cartoons, so
I'll get into
you know.
Okay, imagine how cool he could have been.
Let me just say, when he when he pulled out all those weapons, I was like, oh, yeah,
right.
And then it was just like, you know,
he got disarmed so quick, too easy, so to speak.
Yeah,
he was lame. I have one big one. Han Solo versus Luke Skywalker. In Empire Strikes Back, when Luke hasn't matured into his complete Jedi self.
Luke took on Vader and actually managed to
hold his
score
own.
On him once. So I'd say Luke.
Luke.
I gotta go Han Solo. He's smarter. He's just hands down smarter.
Luke can reflect laser blasts.
No, but
he wouldn't use a laser blast.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Han Solo in the second from the second movie. I think he was a more mature fight. I think he was the big kind of hero and kind of getting things done in that second movie. Mm. I think it would have been a close one. But.
Okay. All right.
Mace Windu
versus
Luke Skywalker episode 3. Or episode 6.
Luke Skywalker. Yeah, Luke could whip all over him.
Episode 2. No,
Mace Windu.
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course, all the Jedi, as of, you know, episodes 1, 2, and 3, have 65 billion more powers than Luke could ever think. I mean, will somebody please tell Luke that you can block force lightning with a lightsaber?
Yeah, really?
I mean, everybody's doing it, and Obi-Wan did it twice!
Yeah. All right, we have any other, like, good big ones?
Yeah.
I got a big one here. Jango Fett versus Han Solo.
I had Jango Fett versus Boba Fett, but we'll do that in a second.
Oh, Han Solo.
Versus Jango? Han Solo.
Han Solo is just too...
Remember that Boba Fett took out Han Solo without thinking about it.
Yeah.
No, he did not. Darth Vader took him out pretty much and handed him to him.
Boba Fett got him to do it. That's smart.
Yeah, Boba Fett was...
We're not talking about,
wait, what did
like...
Boba Fett do?
He was the only one who tracked him down and found... He was the bounty hunter that tracked him down.
Please.
I'm going with Boba.
Put him in a room.
All right, Boba versus Jango. Son versus father.
I'm biased because I never saw Boba Fett do anything, so I got to go with Jango.
And not only that, but this is another one of those really horrible, horrible moments in the third movie, is the death of Boba Fett is so...
What do you mean, the second movie?
Jango Fett?
No, Boba Fett. Oh, sorry, episode 6.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Now you're getting all confused.
Sorry. Is the death of Boba Fett. The death of Boba Fett is one...
How does he die?
So
he
tragic.
Goes into the Sarlacc pit.
Oh, yeah.
But he dies because the, you know, Laurel and Hardy bit where...
He hits him in the jetpack.
And
he shoots him in the jetpack.
Oh, right.
And flies. I mean, it was so horrible.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Like, I mean, for such a cool character to be killed.
Yeah,
that
but he
way
didn't. He didn't
tragic.
Like that it was a cool character, and that's why he got rid of him that quick. He was like, he didn't like that everybody wanted Boba Fett.
Well,
really?
So,
yeah.
So he had to just do a stupid. I mean, just take him out of the movie. I mean, just don't show him again.
Darth Sidious versus Han Solo.
Darth Sidious? Who? You mean...
Darth Sidious.
He was Christopher
Sorry.
Lee.
Oh.
No, not him.
Oh, Darth...
The other one. The
Darth Grievous?
Grievous, right. The one with the cool name.
Well...
Yeah. By the
so
way, just
Grievous against
case,
Dooku.
Any of the Grievous people who couldn't see me, that was sarcasm.
Yeah.
So, Grievous versus who?
Han Solo.
Han Solo. Grievous is a big pussy.
Grievous would get shot twice in the chest and his head would blow up because it's a video game and everything that you shoot in the center eye blows up.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Right. Okay, wait, last one. Last one. Captain Piet.
Who?
Versus Captain Nita in a getting choked to death battle.
Now, one of them was the at Walker, right?
One was the guy who showed up too fast on the planet and he's like Admiral Piet right. And he's like, you know.
He was also dies. In one of the Indiana Jones, the last Indiana yeah. Jones movie.
And the other guy was the guy who was like,
he chose.
I'm going poorly. To. He takes it and he's like, I'm gonna go, apologize to Lord Vader. And he says, apology accepted, Captain Nita. He dies. Huh.
That was a cool death, though.
Yeah, it was a really cool death.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick that dude.
So Nita, all right. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I was gonna pick Nita too.
Matt, you have one link, don't you?
I have a few.
Oh, you do have a few.
You're like Link Boy.
I am Link Boy. Mm-hmm. One, I have... Hey,
last week, he was the missing Link Boy.
And you yell at me for puns and stuff, like whatever you just said.
Well, he's funnier than you are.
Right.
Fuck.
Right. Okay, so links. Lightsaber, how stuff works. They have a guy who actually defined on how a lightsaber works... And we'll put the link. It's www.howstuffworks.com.
Have we done the link how to build a lightsaber? Did we do that one before?
Yeah. Well, okay. If you want, I'll put it on again. We should put big yellow box up again. The other one was I was just like flipping through and I found this thing. It's a safe room, you know, like from the movie with Jodie Foster where they run in and they hide in the safe.
That's panic room?
Yeah, the panic room. It's a panic room that's a bed. It's a bed and you hit a button and it just flips up over you. And it becomes a big safe room, and you got DVDs and everything and food stored in the bed. You gotta see it. It's unreal.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's for the paranoid.
That's for the paranoid. And then Whoops Movie Goofs on Empire and Star Wars and stuff like that. Cool. You could find all the movie
that
goofs.
I love that stuff.
On there. You could find, like, when Vader gets knocked off the platform and Luke jumps down after him, you can see that he hits the trampoline and his head pops back up.
Oh. That's cool.
Really? Yeah, like things like that. That I was like, oh, I gotta go see this. You gotta see. Huh. Those are my links.
I have to check that.
Excellent.
I guess we should all build. We should all go to that build your own lightsaber, and we'll each build one. We can post.
How much does it cost?
$27.
Really? That's it?
Yeah, and you can borrow my Dremel tool.
I also have a lot of pieces still from. When I built one before, and you can salvage half of that.
So. Aaron did his in like 2 days. The one I picked, obviously, the hardest one, and I haven't been able to do it.
Okay, you know what we do? We put together our lightsabers, and then we finally do that Geeks On group photo that we were promising.
Ooh,
way back when. So that very kind viewer who wrote in and asked for photos of us.
Oh God, really?
Still waiting.
I know that poor sucker.
Well, we know we have one girl who like is a fan.
Well, that's written in. I've always imagined that most of them were females listening. Is that not true?
Well, is that why we thought Asa was female?
Yeah.
Right. Poor guy.
Poor Asa.
Sorry, Asa.
So hopefully next week, we've been talking to the guy who did Star Wars Revelations. If anyone was been tracking us, for a while, we did the fan film section. And talked about one of the fan films that was going to come out, Star Wars Revelations. Well, it's out.
Mm-hmm.
And Shane Feilu, who's the guy who did it, we've been talking to him, and hopefully next week we can actually do a section with him.
Yeah, he came to town. We met him.
He is a great guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a really great guy. And so, if you guys want to go out and see that before next week, and if you have any questions, post them, and
we'll ask him.
Geeks On, we'll ask him.
That's right.
That's right, Geeks On, where you can meet all the hottest celebrities.
Shane Feilu.
Hot, hot, hot.
Cool. Well, that's our Geeks episode for this week.
Thanks for coming back, guys. We missed you.
Missed ya, and we will catch you later.
Have a great geek week.
I say.